Moncrief on News Talk.
Now, on the same day that Germany legalized cannabis, this very progressive thing to do, they also brought in a law that bans so-called gender-neutral language in schools and public bodies. It comes after underscores and asterisks were being added to words to modify them from their normal, traditional masculine form. Derek Scally has been writing about this in the Irish Times, and he joins us now. Derek, good afternoon.
Hello, Stephanie.
So for people who are listening who maybe don't speak German, I'll just do a brief explainer. So in German, all nouns have a gender. They are male or they are female. If you are calling someone an accountant, a nurse, a doctor, a cleaner, you use a gender form of that noun. So when you call someone a cleaner, the person listening knows whether you speak of a male cleaner or a female cleaner. And in order to make the world more inclusive in the last few years, Germans have been adopting kind of, they've been inserting asterisks or just a pause in the middle of the word to identify the fact that this is a gender neutral version of the word. It's particularly popular in universities, with lecturers being kind of, I guess, shamed sometimes or called out by their students when they don't do it. So it's a really big step that Bavaria have adopted this new law. Do you think that this is something that is going to be well received, Derek?
Well, it's interesting because at the end of the day, when you strip it all away, it sounds maybe to listeners rather complex, Germans fighting over the words. But what it effectively is, it's a culture war. Now, what is a culture war? John Ronson, the British journalist and writer, has done a lot of work on this. He says culture wars are what people shout about at each other on the internet. And whether or not, if you use the male form in the generic way, if, you know, Lehrer is a German word for teacher, if you say, you know, addressing a group of Lehrer, are you referring to women as well, who might be in the room who are also teachers? And the conservatives have said, well, this nonsense over trying to include everyone and trying to add asterisks and fighting and changing our beautiful German language, this is sort of political correctness gone mad, effectively, is what they're saying. And then the other side is saying, no, but you're trying to hold back progress, and society has always been diverse, and we're now just trying to reflect that in the language, have the language catch up. So it's very much a culture war over, you know, if you say this word, is it, are you being deliberately exclusionary, or was your intent not to be that way? And who decides? Is it the person speaking or is it the person listening? So it's on the one hand very German specific, and on the other hand it's just part of this wider culture wars that we have raging in so many fields. And that's what I think makes it interesting.
I think it's fascinating. We're so lucky that we don't have gendered nouns in English, because you can imagine the difficulty that would happen. Like, we can see, you know, we have it in some cases. We have actor and actress. But generally, when we're speaking about actors, we'll just use the phrase actor. And then someone may call us out on Twitter saying, oh, hang on, you're not including females or gender fluid people in this. And you can feel very put upon. But imagine if that was every single noun that you used every single day.
Well, this is the issue. And what's interesting, actually, about what you mentioned there, actor and actress, a lot of women in the acting profession are saying, well, I'm an actor. I want to be called an actor. I don't want to be in a special actress category. So they're actually moving in the other direction, because in Germany, what they're saying is we need to break out this act, the equivalent of the word actor. We need to make it, imagine actor and then a star, an asterisk, and then ESS on at the end. That's effectively what they're talking about in German. They need to make the word sort of, they need to add to the word. And a lot of women in the acting profession in Ireland or in the English-speaking world are saying, no, why don't we just go back to basics? We know what we want to be called. And it's one of those classic things. It's people using language in defense of minorities they feel perhaps aren't able to speak up for themselves. So the question is, are you getting upset on somebody else's behalf, or are you getting upset on your own behalf? So again, another feature of culture wars. But it's just very messy, because there's lots of sort of undercurrents there. And we're also seeing the conservative-run states in Germany are pushing this, several states, Bavaria, some eastern German states, and the common denominators, they're all conservative-run. But what they seem to be doing is there's sort of a dog whistle element to it, that the far-right Alternative for Deutschland party has been pushing this for a long time. It sort of looks on this as sort of an easy win, saying the madness of political correctness and we need to protect our German language from asterisks and underscores. So these conservative states run by the centre-right mainstream Christian Democrats Party, they're now doing this and the AfD is sitting back and laughing, saying, well, we've been asking for that for years, so thank you very much for adopting one of our policies now into the political mainstream. And people on the centre-left in Germany are worrying because how often do you vote for a tribute act if you want these policies, which they would say are populist, you just go straight for the extremist party. So it looks again like a slightly arcane linguistic battle in Germany, but it's a culture war, but it's also increasingly a political war, because if the conservatives in Germany keep borrowing policies from the far right, how soon before far right becomes mainstream center right? So it's something again we're seeing all over Europe, but it's particularly this week it's now becoming government policy in Germany.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because the argument is that this is a linguistic thing. This does not reflect my views or opinions on transgender rights, on gender issues in any way. The argument is this is a linguistic thing. But then other people weaponize that and, you know, attribute the language that you use to the views that you hold on certain groups. How is it being received in Germany? Like, if you're walking on the street, is this something that people are outraged by in general? Is it something that people are kind of, the majority of people are like, I don't care about this, I'm just going to keep going?
Yeah, I think most people are just saying, look, there's enough, you know, have you nothing else to worry about? That seems to be a general view. But what people do feel concerned about is they don't understand. There hasn't been sort of a policy set. They would kind of like clarity. So are we using asterisks? Are we using underscores? What are we doing? Just tell me what to do and I'll do it. And if they're feeling insecure about it, then they are then called out on social media or wherever for using their own form and clearly you're a bigot or you're a sexist. That really gets people's goat up, because this gets back to this core issue. John Ronson sums it up perfectly. Culture wars, we seem to be moving from an era where what people intended to say is now less important than how it is perceived. Mm-hmm. So people are being attacked for how it's perceived, what they've said, as opposed to what
the intention.
So the innocent mistake, because it's very, very complicated. Before I filed the article, I sent it to some German friends just to make sure I hadn't got something wrong, because it's very, very complicated. Interestingly, I asked a German friend of mine yesterday, she's a teacher. And as I said at the start, the German word for teacher, the default word is Lehrer. And if you're a woman teacher, it's Lehrerin. And I said, do you feel bothered by this? And she says, not in the slightest. If they say Lehrer to a room of people at a teacher's conference, and there are men and women, she says, I don't feel excluded. So it's another element of culture wars. Are you getting upset on somebody else's behalf who isn't actually upset? So it's, you know, the idea that all women feel excluded when the default masculine collective is used isn't necessarily the case either. So
talk to us then about the ban specifically. So it's just in Bavaria, which is sort of like a county or region. And is it all over, just in government buildings?
Yeah, it's a government. It's actually Bavaria isn't the first tier. Two, Saxony and Saxony-Anhalt, which are in the east, have already implemented this. And Hesse, which is the state where Frankfurt is, the financial capital, so it wants to follow suit. And it's, yeah, in government websites, government communication, official bulletins, but also, and this is the real issue, in schools. So in school books, in school messages to parents, to pupils, and so on. If you continue to use stars and underscores, they're saying, you know, if it's considered that you're doing it deliberately and not just a slip, and they will come after you with fines. Now, we're not 100% sure who will police this and what the fines are going to be, and whether it's just supposed to have a chilling effect or whether it's more sort of a sign to their own supporters that we've got this. It's very, very unclear. And for a country that seems to value precision, the lack of clarity on this is slightly worrying. And at the end of the day, it's a big philosophical question. Can you actually police language? And if you're starting to police language, you know, as George Orwell say, well, where are you going to end up? So it's probably a storm in a teacup, but it's certainly a sign of the times that the culture wars have reached the German language, and that no one side seems to be interested in giving up.
But I guess the policing of the language has been happening in the opposite direction, which is why people have changed in the first place, because the way that it was, you know, unhelpful or unacceptable to some people, so they began to change, and now they've made a law on it. The Goethe Institute, which are the German body that govern language, well renowned for making decisions some people might remember, there's a Scharfes S, which is a letter in the German alphabet, which kind of looks like a capital B, but it is actually used for a double S. And they got rid of it. The Goethe Institute got rid of it a number of years ago, mainly because it wasn't, you know, with keyboards and technology.
Well, number one, first of all, the Goethe Institute aren't responsible for language. They're a cultural body sort of, that are interested in cultural collaborations between German artists and international artists. There isn't a German central language body. There are several bodies that feel this is their role, but they're not. It's not binding. And secondly, the Scharfes S does still exist. Switzerland got rid of it entirely. But in the language reform in 1999-2000, its use was definitely reduced. There are a lot more words where you now can use a double S as opposed to this bizarre letter that no one else has, but it hasn't been abolished entirely.
But that wasn't the Goethe Institute who were across that thing, the language reform.
No. There was a special body set up with the federal states. Very complicated, as usual. No, it's what's interesting is France has a central body for language. So every time a new English word starts creeping into the French language, a smartphone or something, they'll come up with a French alternative. And I'm not 100% sure, but as far as I know, they can go after certain government bodies and so on if they start using the wrong English word when there is an alternative official French word. In Germany, there is nothing like that. So it's interesting. In Germany, it's a very decentralized country, and the language hasn't got a central sort of police oversight body. So,
and yet you end up with words like Umweltverschmutzung instead of pollution.
Yeah, it's very well. At the end of the day, the idea is, you know, Germany, on the one hand, it's a country that wants to regulate everything, but on the other hand, they don't regulate their language. And many people would say, well, that's the way it should be, because our language is organic, language keeps developing. And trying to come in and say this is the way we do things is probably not a good idea. Even all these asterisks and underscores, it's relatively new. I mean, the battles have been going on in linguistic circles since the 70s, but it's only in the last 5 to 10 years that you're starting to see it in newspapers. So it's probably like a lot of things, eventually some sort of everyday compromise will be found. And interestingly, some of the newspapers who introduced these hyphens and underscores and colons, they introduced it. One of the Berlin newspapers, they said it's a human right, it's important that we use inclusive language. They have now abolished it because too many subscribers were in touch with them saying, we think this looks awful, we're stumbling over asterisks. So language, I think, is just an organic thing. It's always changed. It always keeps changing. And Germany's idea is, well, we're not going to, you know, so actually what Bavaria is doing sort of is flies in the face of the traditional German approach is live and let live.
And do you think that the other German counties, for want of a better word, will adopt this, or that there will be some pushback and it will remain divided across the country?
I think it's not really about the language. It's about how it looks. And it's about, at this stage, the conservative states doing it. And they're all conservative states. They're trying to find, as my piece in the Irish Times, it's kind of like Malcolm Tucker in the thick of it. They're looking for something that looks good and doesn't cost any money. This looks good to their voter base, doesn't cost any money. Whether it will simplify life or complicate life, we will see. But the idea that you can kind of impose sort of the heavy hand of the state on something like language and then expect that everything has been solved, all of the fights will somehow go away, I think that's rather naive, or it's deliberate, so that they can then present themselves as brave culture warriors to their voters.
Derek Scally of the Irish Times, thank you so much for joining me.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.